Taf Samach, let's start on Samach Dalet Amud Beis at the two dots towards the very bottom of the page, the last set of two dots, with the topic being that after the blood would be transported over to the Kohen closest to the altar, the Kohen would throw the blood onto the walls of the altar, and using only those walls that had a base, that had a foundation, that had yesod underneath them. So Kohen HaKohen Beitzel HaMizbeach, the Kohen close to the Mizbeach, Zorko Zrika Achas, would throw the blood in one throw, Kenegad HaYesod, on a wall that was opposite, or a wall that had underneath it a base. Says the Gemara, Pesach Bezrika, Taman Tana Pesach Bezrika. So who's the Tana who tells us that the way in which you put the blood of the Karban Pesach on the altar is that you throw the blood, and not that shafach, not that you pour the blood. So I'm Rav Chizda, it's Rav Yossi Aglilihi, and that's the view of our Mishnah. The Tanya for Lent in Hebrew, Rav Yossi Aglilihi, Omer Rav Yossi Aglilihi says, it says about the Bechor, as damam tisrok, their blood you should throw. So Bechor is one Karban. Here it says their blood, which is plural. Alam Mizbeach on the altar, Veschel Bam Taktir, and their fat you should offer. So Damolo Namar doesn't say his blood, Ela Damam, but it says their blood. Chelbolo Namar doesn't say his fat, Ela Chelbam, but their fat. Limit El Bechor Maisu Pesach, using the plural tenses to teach you that the blood of Bechor and the blood of Maiser Behema and the blood of Karban Pesach, even though the Torah doesn't mention that their blood gets thrown onto the fire in regards to Karban Pesach, it doesn't say that their fats get thrown into the fire, it doesn't say that their blood is thrown on the Mizbeach, but because it says in regards to the Bechor, and in Bechor it says Damam, and in Bechor it says Chelbam, so that tells you that what it was said about Bechor applies to Maaser and Karban Pesach as well. That their blood, like the blood of the Bechor, has to be thrown on the Mizbeach, and their fats, like the fats of the Bechor, have to be burned on the fire. So therefore, since it says, the word that teaches us that there is blood of Pesach that goes on the Mizbeach is the word Tizrok, so it tells you that the way in which the blood goes on the Mizbeach is through Zerika, through throwing, and not through Shficha, through pouring. Says the Gemara, Minalan Tzun Yisot. How do we know that the blood has to go on a wall of the Mizbeach that has Yisod underneath it? So Amar Rav Elazar answered, Asya Zrika Zrika. That's from Gzeira Shava, Zrika Zrika, from the Karban Ola. Ksevach, it says that we hear about the Bechor, which we say is also including Karban Pesach. Es damam tizroka la Mizbeach, their blood you should throw on the altar. Ksevach, it says over there in regards to the Karban Ola, Vizar kubne aron akwanim es damo al Mizbeach saviv. And the children of Aaron the Kohen are going to throw his blood on the altar all around. Not Ola Tuna Yisod, just like the Ola. The blood is put on those walls that have a base to them, that have a foundation. Pesach Nami Tuna Yisod. Karban Pesach also, the blood has to be put where there's a foundation based on the Tzgei Shava of Zrika Zrika. That's the Gemara of Ola Gufa Minon. How do you know that the Ola's blood goes only on those walls of the Mizbeach that have a base, that have a foundation underneath them? Amarka, because the Pasuk says, El Yisod Mizbacha Ola. The Pasuk says, actually, in regards to the Chatas, he will pour the blood of the Chatas on the foundation of the Mizbeach of Ola. So why connect, why call it the foundation of Mizbeach of Ola? On the foundation. The fact that it connects Yisod to Ola is to say, Ola has to be only where the Yisod is. Alma Ola to an Yisod. That Ola requires being the blood being put on those parts of the altar that have the yisod, that have the foundation underneath them, the northern side and the western side, not the eastern and the southern sides. And we see from here that so we see that since there's the Gzeira Shava of Zrika Zrika, that the Karban Pesach also, and the Bechor, and Maaser Behema, they also have to be placed on those walls of the Mizbeach that have Yisod underneath them. All right, so then the Mishnah talks about the different groups. Yatztakat Rishona, the first group, once it finished all their Karbanos, they would exit the Beit HaMikdash, and the second group would enter. And the second group would have their Karbanos offered, they would exit, and the third group would enter. So this third group of Erev Pesach, Hinikris Katatzlanis, would be called the group that's lazy. Ask them, why are you calling them lazy? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. It can't be any other way. You have to have three groups. We had the three words yesterday, Kahal, Eidah, and Yisrael. So the Gemara answers, what else should they have done? So the Gemara answers, even so, there are going to be three groups. We have to have three groups. But why should you choose to be part of the third group? You can choose to be part of the first group. It has to get done, but why should you choose to do that, right? I mean, a society needs sanitation workers, but why should you choose to be the sanitation worker? Let somebody else choose to be the sanitation worker. It has to get done, but it's still, you know, it's a statement about a person that he chooses to do the lowly activities. Even so, they used to call the people of the third group the lazy ones, because they should have been energetic and filled with passion, and they should have been running to be part of the first group. Kidatanya, as we learned in a brisa, Maseches Kedushin, Rabbi Yom, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Yevshel Olam Lo Basam Lo Bursi. A guy wants to work with chemicals. So some people work with chemicals and they make perfume. Other people work with chemicals and they take skins and they turn the skins into leather. The world needs leather makers. It needs leather manufacturers. You need to have strong bags to hold stuff. And the world needs to perfume makers, because the world, people need to smell nicely. But Ashimishum Nasubasam, you know, lucky is a fellow whose life is to be smelling perfume. He smells great. Woe to the person whose profession is to be working with the skins, making them into leather. He smells terrible. Society needs it. They do need it, but why should he choose to be the one who does those things? So similarly, the world needs male children and female children. But fortune is the one whose children are all males, or mostly males. It's difficult for the one whose children are mostly females. So again, the world needs both. You need males and females to have a world. But, you know, a guy is luckier if he has mostly males. The Chassam Sofer explains, because the males represent nesina, they represent giving, because the males are the more active ones, and the females represent taking. So better to have a family of most, obviously you want to have girls too, you don't fulfill puruvu if you don't have a daughter, but better a family that's mostly boys, because that's a symbol of giving, versus a family of mostly girls, which is a symbol of taking. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Okay, k'maseu b'chol, kach maseu b'shabbos. The Mishnah says the way they do the Korban Pesach during the week, that's the way they would do it on Shabbos, except with the question of cleaning the floors of the Mizbeah, cleaning the floors of the Beis HaMikdash. That they used to, the Kohanim, this was their own choice, they used to, you know, spread water all over the floor and clean the floors, and the Mishnah said, Shalom Baratzon Chacham, the sages weren't happy. But during the week, they didn't mind, but on Shabbos, they weren't happy, because apparently it's problematic with Shabbos. Shalom Baratzon Man. So who would tell them that it's a problem in terms of Hilchos Shabbos? So Amar Rav Chizr explained, Shalom Baratzon Belezer. This is not, the sages were not happy that they would clean the floors on Shabbos, because these sages were following the view of Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbanan, because the view of the Rabbanan, Harmi Shvusu, they think that cleaning the floors with, the Rabbanan think that cleaning the floors with water would only be Nisid Rabbanan. The ain't Shvus b'Mikdash. And such an Nisid Rabbanan would not apply in the Beis HaMikdash, because we know in general we're not worried that things in the Beis HaMikdash are going to lead to other things, because Kohanim's Yizim Hem, as we learned back in Masechta Erev, Kohanim are very, very filled with passion and alacrity, they're careful. So it would only be according to Rabbi Elazar. Mahi, what's this argument between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim? Tanya, went in a Braisa. Echad HaCholev, Echad HaMachabetz, whether a person is milking a cow, or Machabetz is somebody who is causing the milk to congeal. So he's doing a borer, he's separating the liquid from the solids, puts in the rennet into the milk. A megabing, or somebody who now collects these little pieces of cheese and connects them to each other, that's the malach of bona. So if he does it kigrogeres, if he does it a fig worth, it's a biblical sin. Fig worth amount of cheese making. A machabed, what about somebody who sweeps the floor? Amarabates, somebody who throws water on a floor to keep the dust down. Aroda chalos dvash, somebody who takes honeycombs out of a beehive on Shabbos, so he's detaching the honey from where it's growing. So these three things also, the machabe, the one who sweeps a dirt floor, that's mash vegumos, he's filling in holes, it's bona. Hamarabet, somebody who knocks down dirt, that's also a form of bona, of building. And finally, roda chalos dvash, tolesh, he's detaching what's growing. V'shogi b'shabbos chayev chatas, if he does it on Shabbos by mistake, it's a biblical sin, so he'd have to bring a carbon chatas. On Yom Tov, hazed, if he did it on purpose, lo, he'd get 40 lashes. So Blazer holds that Mechabed Merabeds and Roda Chalos Dvash, somebody who sweeps a floor, somebody who sprinkles water on a dirt floor to keep the dirt down, and somebody who detaches a honeycomb, that is all considered biblical malachos. So, according to this, Chacham say no, echad zeh. These activities of sweeping a floor or detaching a honeycomb, in el mishum shvus, is only a rabbinic sin. It's not a biblical sin. So, according to the Chachamim, that sweeping a floor, sweeping a dirt floor is only a rabbinic sin. Maybe you'll fill in a hole, but not that you're going to fill in holes. Maybe you'll fill in a hole. So, according to the Chachamim, it's only a rabbinic sin. So now, to wash the stone floor of Beis HaMikdash would be even less. That would be, you know, like a, it might lead you to sweeping, but sweeping itself is only rabbinic. So that, they would say, is no problem at all. Beis HaMikdash, we're not worried that things are going to lead to other stuff. But according to Belezer, that sweeping a dirt floor is already a biblical sin. So that he would not allow you to wash the floors, even though they're stone floors, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Yeah, right. It's this shita, right? The view of Rebbe Elazar that holds that sweeping floors are a problem. He would also say that it's a problem to wash the stone floors. However, even those who disagreed with Rebbe Elazar, they also would not be happy with the washing of the stone floors. Because Rebbe Nassan, this is what Rebbe Nassan taught us, the time we went to the Brisa, Rebbe Nassan says, even when we say in the Beis HaMikdash we're not worried about rabbinic sins, we suspend the rabbinic sins to enable us to do service. But to do something which is not necessarily a service, that they didn't permit. So once the Karban Pesach is already slaughtered, you did what you had to do. Okay, now it's dirty. Beis HaMikdash is dirty. There's blood everywhere. But it's not service anymore. The service is done. So once the service is done, they're not going to permit even something which is a far fear. Oh, maybe if you wash, you'll then sweep. And if you sweep, maybe you'll fill in holes. So what? Even if it's a far fear, they would prohibit it. Because we're talking about after the service. Once it's after the service, they're not permitting things in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says that when again, talking about the order of the offering of the Karban Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kos Hayim Mimali. At the very end of all the offerings, the Kohen would take a cup, put the cup into the floor, fill up the cup with blood, and throw that blood onto the Mizbeach. Logic being, as we're about to see in the Gemara, because maybe some blood of a Karban spilled, and it never made it to the Mizbeach. So by taking this cup of blood, hopefully that spilled blood, well, a little bit of it will be in this cup, and by throwing it onto the Mizbeach, that carbon also got to the Mizbeach. He would be filling a cup with blood mixed in of all the carbonos on the floor. Why? Because we're worried. This is sort of like an insurance policy. Maybe one of the carbonos, Pesach, their blood spilled. So by throwing this blood on the Mizbeach, you're being machshir that carbon. You're making that carbon acceptable. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, "Alolo neskabel b'kli." But the blood never got into a vessel in the first place. So if it never was caught in a vessel, it's not going to be kosher. Mar says, "Mina yadi." How did they know it never got into a vessel? Maybe it got into a vessel. Talachi gamrila. This is what they're saying. Shemalon neskabel b'kli. Maybe the blood didn't go into a vessel. If you're worried that it, right, Kohanim normally do the carbon the right way. They catch the blood, they transfer the blood, and the blood goes on the Mizbeach. If you're saying we have to take some blood from the floor because maybe some blood didn't make it to the Mizbeach, maybe it never even went into a vessel, so maybe it's not even kosher. Yeah, I said, I agree with you. I'm only talking about taking the blood that was initially caught in a vessel and now it's on the floor. So the Gemara says, Bamina Yadi, how do you know that the blood was all caught in vessels? So he answered, Kohanim's reason, Haim. Kohanim, they're very religious and they're very passionate and they're very excitable. And they do everything with a lot of energy. So they made sure to catch the blood and they're going to make sure to catch the blood correctly. So Gemara says, this reason, if they're so careful, am I mishtapich? So then why did it spill? Why did it spill if they're so careful? So Gemara says, that's exactly why it spilled. Agaz rizu sayu, because they're so passionate. To Avdi, right? They're doing things with so much energy and so much excitement, they're rushing to do it. That's why mishtapich. That's why the blood spilled. So Gemara says, now another question. According to Yehuda, you're taking a cup full of this blood from the floor because it's going to have within it blood that may have spilled. So we assume that you have a little bit of blood, it'll work. So now the Gemara is questioning that original assumption. But you've got a lot of blood here that's no good that's going to be mixed in with this blood. Whenever you shecht an animal, there are multiple bloods that come out. The initial blood that comes out is called dam ha-tamtzis, the blood that dribbles out. Then there is what's called dam ha-nefesh, the blood with the life. There's this gush of blood. It sort of like jumps out. There's almost like life to it. And then there's more blood dribbling out. The blood that dribbles out in the beginning and the end, that dam ha-tamtzis, that's not dam ha-nefesh. That doesn't have the status of blood to go on the mizbeach. So here you have lots of blood on the floor. Most of the blood is going to be dam ha-tamtzis because the dam ha-nefesh is caught by the kohanim and it gets transferred to be thrown onto the mizbeach. The dam ha-tamtzis is what's on the floor. So you're saying, well, maybe Kohen, is so excited, he's rushing, he's doing it so energetically, he may have dropped his vessel and things spilled on the floor. That's what we're worried about. But that what spilled on the floor is going to get mixed up with so much dam ha-tamtzis from all these other karbanos. It'll lose its identity. We have a concept of bittul berov. So what are you accomplishing? So the Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. There's Rabbi Yehuda to his view. Damar dam ha-tamtzis tam al yehu. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. He holds that the dam ha-tamtzis, the blood that doesn't have the life in it, the blood that was dribbling out of the animal, is also considered blood with every status of blood. The Tanya is learned in a brisa. Dam ha-tamtzis ba'azhar. According to the Chachamim, the blood that dribbles out of an animal is only a prohibition. It's not karis. You don't get the penalty of karis for eating it. However, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Be'i Karis, you get Karis for eating it. So the Gemara says, how can you say that this is the view of Rabbi Yehuda? That since it gets Karis, therefore also it can go on the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between getting Karis and going on the Mizbeach. Amar Belazar, Rabbi Belazar said, Mother Rabbi Yehuda agrees, leading Kapar Shein HaMachaper, in regards to getting atonement by having it go on to the Mizbeach, it would not gain atonement. Because it says, Ki Adamu B'Nefesh Yechaper, only the blood that has soul in it is what creates atonement. But the blood of the Tamsis does not create atonement. So as we said on Samach Yemid Beis, Dam Shah Nefesh Yotzu Ba Machaper, the blood that has soul in it is what creates atonement. Dam Shah Nefesh Yotzu Ba, but the blood that doesn't have soul going out in it, in a machaper, does not create atonement. So again, what's Rabbi Yehuda trying to accomplish? Rabbi Yehuda says we should have an insurance policy. There may have been blood of Korban Pesach that spilled and never made it to the Mizbeach. So at the very end of the day, let's go take a cup full of blood, throw it on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, you take a cup full of blood from the floor, that's going to have lots of blood that wasn't good blood. Right? So you'll say, well, according to Yehuda, all blood is good blood. That's all good. All blood is good blood for penalty of karis, for getting the penalty of karis. But not all blood is good blood for gaining kapara, for gaining atonement, for being thrown in the mizbeach. It has to be the blood of life. And who's to say you're going to have very little blood of life? Most of the blood of life was caught in vessels and transported to the Beis Hamik, transported to the mizbeach. It would be very rare to have this. So dam shah nefesh yotzei bo mechaper, dam shah nefesh yotzei bo ena mechaper, the blood that doesn't have life in it does not create atonement. Says the Gemara, the Rebbe l'tameh, the Rebbe is being consistent, to Amar who holds in dam mevatel dam. We know the Rebbe holds in bemino ena batel, that when you mix things of the same type, they do not lose their identities. Since Rebbe Yehuda holds in dam mevatel dam, blood does not annul blood, that's where Rebbe Yehuda would hold that we're talking about over here. The blood does not lose its identity. It was blood of nefesh that may have spilled. If there is such blood of nefesh that may have spilled, it's not going to lose its identity in the majority of Dama Tamsis, because Min Bimino Eno Bata, type with its own type, does not lose its identity. Therefore, you could throw it onto the Mizbeach. Okay, time you looked at a Braisa. Amalan Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chacham, according to you, that there's no need to fill up a cup of blood at the very end from the floor. We know that normally when karbanos were offered in Beis HaMikdash, there was a drainage canal. And the drainage canal would take all the blood out of Beis HaMikdash, out of the Azar, out of the courtyard, out into the Nachal Kidron, into the Kidron Valley. But we know that in Erev Pesach, they used to stop up that drainage canal so that the Beis HaMikdash would be filled with the blood of all the Karbanos Pesach. So why are they doing it? According to me, I understand, because it was an insurance policy. Why have all the blood here? So that at the very end, you'll take a cup full, because of the blood that may have spilled, and you'll throw it onto the Mizbeach. But according to you, you're not taking a cup full to throw it onto the Mizbeach. You don't assume anything spilled. You assume Kohanim Zuzim Hain, the Kohanim are passionate, they're excitable, they're doing it right. Nothing's going to spill. So if so, why was, in the first place, the blood, why is everything backed up in the Beis HaMikdash? Amalodius answered, the reason why the canal had to be backed up so that all the Beis HaMikdash would be filled with blood, Shevach Levnei Aaron, this is to praise the children of Aaron. They should be walking up to their knees in blood. And this is a tremendous sign of greatness that they're not, nothing stops them. They're happy to serve God even though they're walking in blood and it's disgusting, it smells bad, but this is what God wants, they're happy to do it. So Gemara says, I don't understand. How could you have the Kohanim walking around an Erev Pesach up to their knees in blood? Well, kachayitz, and now their feet are not going to be on the floor. There's going to be a barrier between them and the floor. As we know, says the Gemara, lachu. It was, the blood was still moist. And if the blood is moist, it's a liquid, in a chotzeitz, it's not considered a barrier between the body and anything else, so it's not a barrier between the body and the floor. Okay, the Tanya is looking at Bryce in regards to going to the mikvah. Hadam, blood, vadyo, and ink, vachalav, and milk, vadvash, and honey. If they're on a person's skin, yevashin, if they're dry, chotzen, then they are a barrier. Lachen, but if they're moist, in chotzen, they're not a barrier to the waters of the mikvah. Ask the Mara. But their clothing is going to get all disgusting. If the Kohen's clothing is dirty, and he does his avoda is pasul. You're going to tell me that they would roll up their clothing, right? They roll up their pants, but then he's not wearing it. Because the pasuk says, the clothing has to fit him. It can't be too long on him. It can't be dragging on the floor. It can't be too little. It doesn't fit him. It can't be rolled up. So, what's going on here that the Beis HaMikdash is filled with blood that they should be walking up to their knees? Walking to their knees. If they walk to their knees, the clothing gets disqualified because it's dirty. If they roll up the clothing, then it gets disqualified because they're not wearing clothing. It's the Gemara, Bo'olacha Zeivarim Lakevesh, Elav Avodah. When do we want them to be in up to their knees in blood and carrying the limbs of the carbon to the ramp before they get salted and thrown into the fire? Carrying to the ramp is not an avoda. So then they can roll up their pants and it's okay that they not get dirty. Below, what do you mean it's not an avoda? Let me buy kuna for the fact we need Kohanim to do that. That tells you that's an avoda. That is an avoda. The time is looked at a braisa. The pasuk says, "Vikir v'koin es hakol mizbeach." The coin's going to bring it all to the mizbeach, and we learn from here what does it mean? Vikir, you'll bring it close. So halachas levarim lekevesh, that the coin has to bring the limbs to the ramp. Okay, you're right. When the coin's bringing the limbs to the ramp, he's not going to be able to roll up his pants, and he's certainly not going to be able to walk through the blood. So when we say we want him to be walking through the blood to his knees, is b'halachas itzim lamaracha, carrying the wood to the mizbeach for the pile of wood. For the fire piles are on the top of the Mizbeach. The lava avodah, that's not an avodah. So the Gemara says, I understand. But still, halachas evarim lekevesh, now carrying the limbs to the ramp. Halachas dam, carrying the blood to the Mizbeach. How are they going to get there? If the whole Azara is filled with blood, how are they going to get there? If they're going to walk with their pants down, so then they're getting their pants dirty, then they're disqualified. If they roll up their pants, so then they're not wearing their pants. It's not midovad. He's not wearing it the way he should. So how's he going to get it to the mizbeach? Answer the Gemara. Demazgi aitztabi. They would get to the mizbeach by going on the platforms. There were all sorts of platforms built higher than the floor. So they would walk on the platforms, they'd jump from platform to platform to get the blood to the Mizbeach, to get the limbs to the ramp. But then when it would be time to bring the wood up to the Mizbeach to add to the fire, that's already not an avoda, that's not one of the divine acts of service. So then they would roll up their pants and walk in the blood on the floor. Walk in the blood to show how excited they are to fulfill the will of Hashem and happy to be personally embarrassed. Nothing will stop them from doing the will of God. Right, then the Mishnah goes on to talk about skinning the Karban Pesach, Ketzatol and Mafshitin. How would they hang it and then skin it? They would hang it on hooks if they didn't have enough hooks. They'd also hang it on sticks or on people's arms. Karo, he would tear open the skin, Votziu Es Emurav, and they would take out the innards, the fats. The son of Bemegis put it into a bowl, Vehiktiran, and throw them into the fire. The guy who's skinning the carbon pesach is the one who throws the fats into the fire. Throwing the fats into the fire is an avoda. That's a service. Kohanim need to do that. The skinning does not need to be done by Kohanim. Ema, the answer is they would skin it and take the fat out and put it into a bowl, so that it will later be thrown into the fire, not by him, but by a Kohen. Mishnah says, Yetzakat Mishona, the first group would go out, then the second group would go out, then the third group would go out on Shabbos, they would wait on Har HaBayis, and then once it's dark, they would go home and roast the karbanos at home throughout Yerushalayim. Tanu didn't rise them, they'd walk home, Kalechad Ve'echad Nosem Pischa Ba'oro. Every person would put the karban pesach back in the skin of that animal, Umafshilu L'Achorov, and sort of drape it on his back, so sort of schlep it like a knapsack. So Amar Rav Elish, Rav Elish said, Tayus, this was actually in the appearance of the Arab caravan drivers, the way they have things, you know, slouched over their back. And the Rav Yaakov Emden explains, Rav Elish is telling us that even though a fellow feels, well, why should I look like an Arab? Why should I look like a schlepper, like a porter? The point is that for the sake of a mitzvah, you're happy to make yourself look not so good, like David HaMelech, to honor the Aron. He was dancing, Macharker B'chaloz, dancing with all strength in front of the Aron. So the same thing over here. So to take the Karban Pesach to your home, to roast it, and then eat it, that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah activity, mitzvah involvement is the greatest honor, and we don't worry about personal prestige when we're busy doing a mitzvah. Hajan Alach Tama Nishchat, Rez Hashem Yisbarach. Now let's begin the next Mishnah. The following activities overrule Shabbos with the Karban Pesach, namely Shchitaso, the slaughter of the Karban Pesach, Zrikas Damo, the throwing of the blood on the Mizbeach, that has to happen on Shabbos, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, Michui Krava, making a hole in the intestines so that some of the filth that's inside of them would go out, making a hole with a knife, Haktaras Chalav, of throwing the fats into the fires of the Mizbeach. Avot Sliyasa, but roasting the meat of the Karban Pesach. Hadachas Kravav, the further cleaning of the intestines with water. Ein Adochan Shabbos, that you don't do on Shabbos, you do that after Shabbos. Harkavaso, now bringing the animal to the Beis HaMikdash in the first place, not to carry the animal on your shoulder and bring it to the Azara. Have also michus l'tchum, to bring it from outside of the tchum. Chatichas yabalto, cutting off a wart. Ein dochnas haShabbos, that does not overrule Shabbos, because all of these things could have been done before Shabbos. And even though, let's say, tchumen is only an issur drabanan, but it could have been done before Shabbos, so therefore it doesn't overrule Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar disagrees. Rebbe Elazar omer dochen, it does overrule Shabbos, because Rebbe Elazar, we learned back in Masechta Shabbos, holds machshirei mitzvah. That which is enabling you to fulfill a mitzvah also overrules Shabbos. Amar Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar now tries to argue his case. Valo dinu, isn't it logical? Ma'am shchitza shimishu melacha dochas haShabbos. Shchitza, which is a biblical sin, overrules Shabbos. Elu shemishim shmus, when we deal with the rabbinic prohibition, la'yitchus haShabbos, certainly they shouldn't overrule Shabbos. I'm going to Rabbi Yeshua said, no, Yom Tov Yochiach, Yom Tov should be approved. Sheitiru bo mishum alacha. They would allow, right, you're allowed to, let's say, slaughter an animal to make food on Yom Tov, that's a malacha. And asr bo mishum shmus, but you're not allowed to bring food from outside of the tzchum, that you could have done before Yom Tov. So you see that the rabbinic prohibitions exist, even though certain biblical prohibitions are suspended. Amalur b'lezer, b'lezer said, no. Mazi Yoshua, what's the comparison? Maraya, what's the comparison? Yom Tov bringing food, bringing an animal from outside the tchum, rishus, you don't need to eat. You don't need to eat the animal, you can eat other things. Whereas with Pesach, we're talking about a mitzvah. The preparations of a mitzvah, that should overrule Shabbos. Okay, so Be'ezrat Hashem will continue at this point tomorrow. At this point, we'll stop here. Okay.